Okay. They asked me to speak about depression tonight. But I don't know, I feel so lousy. Okay, before I talk about like using Buddhist teachings to work with depression, I do want to say that there's many different causes for depression, many different types of depression. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist. And so what I'm saying is general advice, okay? It's not advice for particular cases, but it's up to you to listen and apply what is useful to you. Because I know that some depression comes because of biological factors. You know, because of the chemistry in the brain. And that often needs to be treated by a doctor. Some depression comes because of our way of interpreting things, our approach to life. And that depression, to that, for that element of depression, Buddhism can be very, very helpful. For some types of depression, people need to go into their family history and explore that. For other types of depression, I don't think there's need to go into family history. Okay? So people are very different. Types of depression are very different. And modes of treatment can be many different modes of treatment, and many of the things can be combined, because they often find, for example, of people who are clinically depressed respond well not just to antidepressants, but to exercise, to therapy, and to spiritual practice. Okay? So I think that if, you know, in times in our life when we're feeling down, we need to have a broad mind and look at many aspects and areas of our life. Yeah? Personally speaking, I think exercise plays a big part in it. Yeah. Now, I know you didn't come here to hear a Buddhist nun tell you to exercise. Especially in Singapore, where exercise means walking from the car to the front door. Yeah. And anything beyond that is way too taxing. But you know, if you can get yourself to move a little bit beyond that, yeah, and move your body, you know, and be out in nature, yeah, in other words, not just with the asphalt and not just with your computers in your car, but actually look at trees and flowers and the sky. You know that? Yeah? That we forget about when we live in a city. I think that that can be very, very helpful when people are feeling down. And I think it's my philosophy is prevention. Prevention is much more worthwhile, you know, than falling ill or getting into depression and then having to get ourselves out of it. It's much better if we live a lifestyle that's healthy and balance our life in a good way and take care of many different aspects of our life so that we don't get depressed to start with. So how do we live a balanced, healthy life? Well, like I said, exercise. I know this is revolutionary for Singapore. Okay, but try it really, Ma. It helps. Yeah? And getting out in nature. You know, breathing some fresh air. Very, very helpful. Eating properly. Okay. Now I know in this day and age, you know, eating properly is another thing that people very often ignore. But I think if you take care, and eat properly, don't eat a lot of junk food and a lot of soft drinks and a lot of meat, but, eat properly, it's a good way to keep your body and mind healthy. Another way to prevent stress, and again, you've probably never thought you'd hear a Buddhist nun say this, is work 8 hours a day and no more. Yeah, there's a doctor in our Buddhist group in Seattle, and he sees so many people who fall ill because they work so many hours overtime. Yeah, then they get very stressed out. So he's starting to write prescriptions that say maximum 8 hours of work a day. Yeah, and you have to take this to your boss. But really, I think this is very important because lots of times people get it in their mind, I have to work hard and earn a lot of money so that I can have more things, so that I can have more in the bank, so that I can be richer than my brother and sister. And you work really hard to prove that you're a success in life. And then you wind up totally depressed because, all you've done is work and you've let all your relationships with other people go, you've let your spiritual practice go, all you know how to do is work. No wonder you get depressed. Okay? So I think it's really important to have a mind that balances the different aspects of our life and not this mind that says money equals meaning of life. Yeah. I often joke in America, life here is a little bit difficult, different than in the States, but in the States, people work very hard with this idea to make more money so that they can give their children nicer things. And I tell them, yes, you make more money, but then you have to send your child to a therapist because the child feels unloved because they've never seen their parents. Because their parents are too busy making money. So I think, having a balanced life where you make sure you have enough time for your family, yeah, enough time for your spiritual practice, enough time to relax, enough time to take a walk, some kind of balanced life really helps you prevent depression and prevent stress. Okay, now you have to find the balance in your own life. I can't sit there and tell you what it is. Yeah. But if you think a little bit beforehand, what are the areas in your life that are valuable and, prioritize them and then live according to those priorities instead of getting very off balance, thinking that I just have to work 12 hours a day or, I have to do this, I have to do that, and then you get completely mentally unhappy and stressed out. Somebody recently asked me if in this talk I would talk a little bit about the stress of, the economic downturn in Singapore, and how to deal with the possibility of retrenchment and stuff like that. This is a real Singaporean question. Nobody says, how can we stop the war? People say, how can I take care of my rice bowl? Don't you think? What's more important to you? War in other parts of the planet, or the fact that you have twice as much rice as you need in your rice bowl? I'm not saying anybody's selfish or anything, but you might want to look and see if a little bit of self-centeredness plays into your stress and your depression. Okay. I'm not trying to say that, losing your job is no big deal. I mean, in the perspective of many lifetimes, it is no big deal. I mean, if you think you've had beginningless infinite lifetimes, you've lost your job plenty of times before. You know? Yeah? Haven't you? I mean, beginningless previous life had lots of times to get lose your job. You've lived through it all, haven't you? Yeah? In fact, you don't even remember it in all your previous lifetimes, how many times you went in crisis because you lost your job. So, you know, I mean, looking at it from that viewpoint, it's not really such a big deal. Yeah? Okay. Somebody was telling me that people here feel humiliated when they lose their job. I mean, I chose not to have a job. Imagine how I feel. Huh? Everybody looks at me, what do you do for a living? I don't. You what? You know? No, I don't get a salary. I don't get a paycheck. I don't want a salary and a paycheck. You what? You know? Totally un-Singaporean, isn't it? Un-American. President Bush doesn't approve of me. Okay. But what I'm getting at in this is, you know, when we place too much emphasis on me and my life and what's happening to me and I have so much worry because I haven't lost my job yet, but I might. So why don't I get nervous and stressed out and neurotic even though I still have my job? Dumb, isn't it? You know, why you have your job? Why are you worried about losing it? What good does the worry do? Yeah? Does worry do anything good? Worry does absolutely no good. Yeah? Absolutely. In fact, worry harms. So why do we worry? Maybe we're bored. You have nothing better to think about but to worry. I used to want to ask my mother this when she worried about me, but I never got up enough courage. Yeah? I mean, really, why do we worry? There's so many beneficial things to think about in life. Why do we spend time worrying about things that haven't happened yet that may never happen? And have you ever noticed that we always worry about something that pertains to me? You know? We're not worried about the Afghan refugees, people who put all the belongings that they own on the back of a donkey, yeah, and go off into the mountains to try and find some food somewhere. Yeah. Are you faced with that if you lose your job, that you have to put all your belongings on the back of a donkey and start wandering off into nowhere because there's no food to eat where you live? Huh? Is that what's going to happen to you when you lose your job? Yeah. I mean, you lose your job, you're still going to have something to eat. You're still going to have your flat. Life is not so bad. Yeah. So why do we worry about us losing our job, but we don't think what's happening to the refugees in Afghanistan? No? So do you see how the mind that's self-centered causes us so much suffering? It makes such a big deal out of me. What's happening to me? Yeah? We worry about me. And all this attention focused on me just makes us so unhappy. Yeah? When we start opening our heart and we look at the situation of other beings, and we see how much better we have it than other beings, then our own suffering is like nothing. Yeah? And especially if you haven't even lost your job yet, you don't even have that suffering yet. So why worry about it? Okay? You know, it's interesting because when I started to hear His Holiness the Dalai Lama talk about compassion as an antidote to low self-esteem, or compassion as an antidote to depression, I kept on wondering, you know, why is he talking about that? You know, here I am, I'm so miserable, how can I have compassion for anybody else? Well, that's the point. I am so miserable because I can't have compassion for anybody else. Because I'm so busy sitting there thinking about me and I and my and mine and everything that has to do with me that I'm sitting there closing myself in to my own hell realm. Yeah? The moment I try and, you know, take my ostrich head out of the ground. You know ostriches? You know, stick their head in the ground, then wonder why they have a headache? Yeah? So if we take our ostrich head out of the ground, we kind of look around and it's like, oh, there are all these other sentient beings. And all of them have problems of some sort or another. And so many of them, their problems are worse than my problems. Imagine that. Somebody has more problems or worse problems than me. What a new thought. Isn't it? You know, I mean, we're so self-centered. We never think anybody has worse problems than us. Okay? But the moment we give that, you know, there's some space in our mind that, oh, you know, I'm not a refugee in Afghanistan. I just imagine for a minute, I was doing this before. You know, imagine being a refugee in Afghanistan right now. Just imagine. Yeah? You have to go home to your flat tonight, take your kids, put everything, you know, on the back of a donkey, and start walking down Orchard Road. You know? But imagine, I mean, there's not even an Orchard Road for you to go to. I've been in Afghanistan. I've seen what it's like, you know. There's no Orchard Road to walk your donkey down there, okay? I mean, imagine how you'd feel if you had to do that. Yeah? I mean, we're so fortunate, aren't we? We're so incredibly fortunate. Yeah? The moment we open our eyes and see what the situation is, for other people in the world, then, you know, we put our own problems in some kind of proper perspective. Huh? It's very interesting. Have any of you ever had your hard disk crash on your computer? Yeah. Have you ever heard of computer hell? Yeah. It's a new kind of hell. They didn't have it at the Buddhist time. But, you know, car trouble hell and computer hell, two new kinds, okay? Of all the different levels of computer hell, your hard disk crashing is the worst level. Any of you ever had your hard disk crash? How many people have had their hard disk crash? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah? If you haven't had it, just wait. I hope you never do. Okay. Yeah, because when your hard disk crashes, everything is gone. Okay. If you haven't backed it up, forget it. It's disappeared. Usually when people's hard disk crashes, they get extremely upset. Yeah? And they complain, and they bellyache, and, you know, they're very upset when their hard disk crashed. Well, my hard disk crashed on September 14th. Okay? Yeah? Do you think I had the opportunity to bellyache and complain and moan and groan about my hard disk crashing on September 14th? No. Okay. I mean, it was like my hard disk crashing, that's a cinch, no suffering at all. You know, I got off easy. You know, samsara is full of suffering. I only had the suffering of my hard disk crashing. That's no suffering at all. I can manage that quite okay. Yeah? Didn't mind at all, didn't get upset, didn't get depressed, didn't complain, didn't yell and scream. Yeah? If it had happened September 9th, I might have been quite upset and, yelled and screamed, bellyached and all, But it's amazing sometimes, really, when we put our own difficulties in perspective, then we realize that our own problems are actually quite manageable. They're not really that bad. Yeah? I mean, sometimes we think, my health is suffering and I have a terminal diagnosis. That's the worst it could possibly be. You go to the doctor and you get diagnosed with cancer or something like that. And you go, freak out. But, we can make it through that, can't we? We can make it through having cancer. I mean, samsara is samsara, isn't it? We're going to have to die sometime. If it isn't cancer, it's going to be something else. I mean, cancer is kind of an easy way to die unless you want to get in one of the planes that crashed into the World Trade Center. Would you want to die that way? Cancer diagnosis doesn't, well, somebody may say, well, they at least died fast. Yeah, I have to die slow. I have cancer. But, at least you when we have cancer, then, at least there's time to think about it. There's time to do some Dharma practice. There's time to forgive other people, a time to apologize to other people, time to tell other people we love, that we love them. Time to do some meditation, time to read the Buddhist scriptures, time to transform our mind. Even we have a terminal diagnosis of cancer, there's still so much we can do in our life. Our life still can have so much meaning and purpose.